If you be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Mind the things that are above, not the things that are upon the earth. These are the words of St. Paul to the Colossians during this Easter season. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There is a story that one evening, after St. Augustine had converted and been baptized, that he and his mother, coming back from Milan to their home in Africa, that they were leaning upon a window that looked out over their garden. And there they conversed. Imagine that, two saints conversing. They forgot all about the past, and they looked only into the heavenly future. The evening, they say, was calm. The sky was clear, the air still. And in the light of the moon and the stars, the ocean could be seen expanding all the way to the horizon. And so mother and son were thinking about what eternal life would be like. And then they fell into an ecstasy. The author who tells this story said that Augustine and Monica, they scaled the sky and the stars. They swept above the angels and the spirits, and they felt themselves transported to the very throne of God. And when they came out of this ecstasy, they don't know how long it took, how long it lasted, St. Monica said to her son, "For my part, I find no more pleasure in this life, and I do not know what I am doing or why I still remain here." The next day, she fell ill, and after 9 days of falling into that ecstasy, she died, and then she went to contemplate eternally the face of God forever. Now, the majority of men today do not think seriously or often enough of eternal life. After all, how could we? The prince of this world is doing so much to keep that thought from us. How could we, in the midst of all this technology which is being used to distract us from hardly being able to lift up our minds Godward? But this is why we are here. We are here to get to heaven. We learned that in the Basic Catechism, and therefore we must think seriously and often of eternity, our home, forever. So I want to give you a few thoughts on what happens at the end of time. I had to pick and choose in the hopes of keeping the sermon a little bit short, but I encourage you to read on in your spiritual reading. First of all, the visible sky and earth, what you see now, where we live, are no more than a place that we pass through. It is like a tent that we set up for a night as we're on our way to another place. This world, everything that you see in nature, is just a rough sketch of a better world. St. Paul says that all creation groans and is in agony even until now. That is, everything in creation longs for that day when God will renew them in a perfect and more harmonious order, the day that they are freed from corruption. And this will happen only on the last day. At the second coming of our Lord, the earth, the sky, as we know them, will be the scene of two changes. First, there is the complete destruction of the present physical order. St. Peter tells us that in sacred scripture. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, and on that day the heavens will vanish with great violence, and the earth and everything on it will be consumed by fire. It was the sins of man that brought about the flood in the times of Noah, and it is now also the sins of men that will bring on the destruction of this earth by fire. But the second thing that will happen is this. There will be a total restoration of creation as soon as the ruin of the universe has been finished. Once the last reprobate, the last enemy of God, receives his due punishment, then the restoration happens. Again, St. Peter says, "What we await are new heavens and a new earth, where according to his promise, the justice of God will reside." This restored universe will then be subjected to new laws. Perhaps the earth will no longer be in motion, but will be at rest. There will be no more gravity to hold us back, for example. Time will be no more. The days, the prophet Isaiah tells us that the days of our weeping shall be no more. St. Anselm, one of the great doctors of the church, says that this earth, which sustained and nourished the holy body of the Lord, will be a paradise. Because it has been washed with the blood of martyrs, it will be eternally decorated with sweet-smelling flowers, violets, and roses that will never wither. William of Paris, another doctor of the church, he speaks of this new earth. He speaks of new evergreen species that will grow, and incorruptible flowers, a perpetual springtime, and perpetual beauty, as in the paradise in which our fathers were first placed. Everything in this new earth, this renewed earth, will be peaceful and divinely ordained. Sorrow and envy are gone. This restored earth will be adapted to our resurrected bodies. So, what are the qualities of the resurrected body? Four. First, remember this, that just as our Lord passed through the sealed tomb, and then the following day appeared suddenly to his disciples in a room where the doors were shut and locked, so our bodies will be able to pass through space like the ray of sunshine, and nothing will have the capacity to hold our bodies back. Second, our bodies will be able to move about with the speed of thought. No sooner would you think where you want to be than you would be there. And they will no longer be held down by the laws of gravity. Thirdly, they will be impassible, which means they will not be able to suffer anything. They will have no sufferings or pain, but likewise, they will not suffer change or weariness because they will be endowed with a certain strength. And fourthly, the resurrected body of the just will possess a brightness that is so brilliant, and each saint will shine like so many suns, each according to his merits. Our bodies will enter a wholly new mode of existence. Now, once the last judgment has been completed, Christ will then ascend back into heaven along with his elect who are following him, and will point out to each of them the very place that he prepared for them on the day of his ascension. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you, he said, before ascending. He will point it out to each one of us. This last part I found particularly interesting. St. Thomas Aquinas says that heaven is destined to serve as the main and principal dwelling of the saints, but that they will not therefore be motionless and restricted to a fixed place. You will not have to sit forever on your throne in heaven, motionless. The angels descend from heaven, and then they return at their will. In fact, in the offertory verse today, it says that the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and said to the women, he is risen. He left the place of heaven, but he goes back. So also, without leaving Christ for a single instant, we will be able to transport ourselves to different places. For example, we would be permitted to reappear on the restored earth, to visit those places where we prayed, where we labored, where we fought temptation. We will see these things in a single glance. And what I find to be very fascinating is that the whole universe being restored, we will be permitted to explore it. Have you ever thought of how huge and immense our universe is? Not long ago, they pointed, NASA or someone like that, pointed a telescope way, way out into the distance to a black spot between, in the middle of a bunch of other stars. Nothing was seen there, and they didn't expect to see anything there. They left it pointed there for 4 months. 4 months later, an image came back of a whole new galaxy that no one ever knew was there. And these are the things that the saints in heaven will be able to explore. This is heaven. But the best part of all will be the beauty of God in the beatific vision. Now, doesn't heaven all of a sudden seem a bit more interesting when you hear these truths? This is only a glimpse of what there is. In fact, this is not even close to the number of things that I was reading as I did my research. Read, meditate more on the afterlife that awaits us. Do not let the world distract you. But I end with three lessons, if I may, that we can derive from all that we have just heard. First of all, do not allow yourselves to become attached to this world. It is passing. It is perishable. And a new one awaits us. Secondly, suffering in this life is only a relative evil. You will be rewarded 100-fold. And thirdly, and I think it in these our days, most importantly, we must not allow ourselves to be disturbed and troubled, nor to lose our peace over the social strife that is going on in the world, the many revolutions that are now taking place. Because, as one author has put it, all this is just the chaos that precedes harmony. The city of God is being built, rebuilt, invisibly, but surely. Public disasters, great scourges, he continues, are only the sword of the Lord, separating the chaff from the wheat. And so our wars, our civil unrest, will hasten the day of the Lord, when the city of God will be perfect and complete. When this turmoil has passed, there will come a great calm and a great peace. Our Lord will have laid his last enemy at his feet, and then all in heaven will be united in one single goal, to love and to glorify God, and that will be our happiness. If you be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, not the things that are upon the earth. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.